I just found it. Sorry.
There we go.
I'm so sorry. I was looking before
consent.
And I couldn't find the little red button. It wasn't red. Being a bit sorry. Steve, do you want to just want to say that again?
Just that little blurb. Yeah, all of it, just the last half hour.
Oh, dear.
I think there is quite a bit, to kind of work on from this point of view, and it would be fantastic to see how this repository grows and what's kind of put into it, and also how the website sort of accesses this as well, and the ways and the different ways in which the research, your own research projects, come out of it. What I have to say about archives and our, human comportment to it, and in particular this archive, is not going to have any shape unless I, be kind of part of, like an interloper into all of your projects, in a sense, and it will be a type of setting up a resonance, between all of these projects, and hearing and eavesdropping on. I think eavesdropping is a great technique, where there is no full hearing of what's actually going on, but a kind of partial understanding which builds different types of kind of relations, between each of the projects, and it will probably end up, quite fragmentary. It could be, a piece of writing that hovers within the kind of digital space itself, and hovers within the archives. I talk a lot about infestation of the archive because I do a lot of work on insects, and a type of infestation of the archive which is not it's not something that just is there alongside it, but in fact it's something that starts to almost change certain connections sort of between things that draws connections between things.
Thank you. Okay. By the way, just in terms of that website, the connection into that, the bit that's most developed in there is the symposia.
Yeah.
So you can have a look at everything that happened in the symposium, because that's been put in there. But and there's been some other various bits and pieces put in there, but it's as I said, it's being built, and a lot of that imagery isn't what it should be. It's just placeholders for some of it. So
yeah,
but if you're wanting to see what everything else was about,
oh yes, there I can. Yeah,
you can do that. So that was I was suggesting that we had a discussion about the archive, and to see what that might mean, to go and to go through what's in the Google Drive. And now the other one then was to start to talk about where we might be at or not at with our individual projects and where that might be. One thing I might ask you to look at, not necessarily in the meeting, but to have a look at Ross's writing. Mm-hmm. And there's a particular one about the writing room. And his offering to what we were talking about last time was going to be the writing room. So I'm interested, Steve, if you're sort of eavesdropping and going in and out of things, or all of us, that there may well be a way of starting to work with some of those ideas as well. But it's up to you. It's just wanted it to be there anyway. So.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Is this the one about it starts off with Bernard Cash?
Yes, that one. Just a minute. I've only I'm on my little laptop, so I haven't got everything up in front of me. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Notion of the cinema.
No, that's Story Drivers. That was the one. That was the one that he did for the session, for our session.
Session, yeah.
If you go into the, just a minute, I'll find it some other way. If there's another one that he wrote on writing room, on the writing room, which is not in the symposium. I've actually stuck it up on the
theoretical.
Yeah, it's called, just a minute. Which one is it? I think it's the one called Interview. Just a minute.
I'm sure I'll find it.
Yeah. I'll let you know which one it is. Sorry,
I'll just search for it.
Yeah. It's called A Writer's Room. It's under the Ross Gibson thing. And A Writer's Room session examining possible storylines. This is a project he was doing for the Archive of New South Wales as it steps into the story world of the Sydney Modern Project. And Writer's Room exercise is a chance to try out a visioning method, see what fresh ideas or attitudes can come of it, see it as a method for the gallery. So he wrote it for the gallery. So this is probably actually slightly confidential. But that's the kind of thing that he was interested in thinking through. So, and those other pieces of work he sent to me as the kind of basis for his interest in the project where he thought he might be.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any other memories that Susie of what Ross's thinking was?
Sorry, I'm just trying to find the Google Drive link just to get back in there. I don't seem to have it. Do you mind putting it in the chat, Ash?
Yeah, sure. I'll just go back to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless you have it faster than me.
I'm just getting into I'm just going to stick in the one with Ross, the Ross Gibson page, and you can probably.
This is actually the drive, not the website.
This is the drive.
Yeah. I don't have access to the drive yet, I don't think.
No, not yet.
Mm.
Right.
See if that opens.
Because the internet is just not having it.
Yeah. That's just the one I've copied from the Ross Gibson one.
That's fine with, I've got it. That's fine with me.
Okay. And then you should be able to go back from that.
Yeah.
Can you get into that one, Steve?
No, I don't have access to it yet.
It's in the link. It's in the chat of the Zoom. The link. Just open up the chat, and you should be able to.
Click. Yeah, but he needs access. I need to just add his email to.
Oh, okay.
The folder. Mm-hmm. That's probably that should be within home place. Yep. So if I just go to home place, add.
Yeah, no, I mean, Ginny, I don't think I've got anything much more to add than what you've spoken to.
Okay.
It does feel a bit strange, though. Yeah, how we can work with it.
I don't know either. I really don't have an idea, but I just wanted to have it there in case.
What were you saying that he said? Like he did say that.
When we were talking about the next steps for the project after we had that get together after the symposium, and he was talking about this idea of being interested in where the sense of what of a writer's room and how that might inform the project and how that some of all of that. So and he was looking at the session, these writing room sessions. He's interested in scripting, etc.
Yeah.
So that was where he was going to take it. And I'm not sort of suggesting that we adopt that particularly at all, but I just thought that it would be useful for us to know about that and have that in our minds.
Yeah, yeah.
And also as part of the archive of the work that we've done, that Ross was in there as well and continues to be. So I just thought it was important to just draw attention to that anyway. But I'm nowhere suggesting that that's something that you have to take on. I'm just saying this is where it is.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting you are. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just thinking it through, really, sort of.
I can't seem to get access to the drive.
Do I have to allow you access? Who needs to, just a minute?
The internet. Steve, okay. I did send you the link.
You did?
In a private message on Zoom. And I also added your email to the overall folder. So you should get an email to the one that I used. And it says that you have access.
Okay.
You can request access.
Yeah, I've tried that, but nothing has come through my email.
I've just sent a couple of things too.
Okay, let me try one more time.
Did anything go through then? Because I've just shared.
Okay, so what is going on with my Outlook? That's weird.
So I've done share to your request that came through to me.
Just going to quit Outlook, try again. Oh, it must be Tasmania. It's just
no. I didn't realise it did come through, so I've just had another go.
Okay. Why is it so slow? No, it's not there. Yes, it's there now. Yay. Yes. Perfect. Yeah, got it.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's under background. Where's Ross's thing?
Under research.
Research.
And Ross Gibson writing.
Ah, right, got it.
Uh-huh. And on mine, the first one is the writer's room.
Right.
And then the other one, the last one, RG Parametrics, is the one that he wrote for the symposium.
Mm-hmm.
And the other three were ones that he just sent in terms of just thinking through some things about the whole project. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that they're there.
Yeah. Okay, nice.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, and so, yes. He sort of says it's a kind of like a workshop of how to mm-hmm. think it up. So anyway.
Yeah.
And as Ross always says, please don't hesitate to ask questions if everything above is only clear like mud. So, okay.
Just one thing, just having a look through it, just the Google Drive again and just the mm-hmm. difference between research and site visits, like it seems like there might be a bit of a duplication around the visit to those places. And I think it'd be really good,
mm-hmm.
while we're not really clear at the moment with Ross, but I think it's much better that he should be taken out and situated in the area of projects.
Okay.
Rather than research.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's a better relationship to have with what he's, what sits there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yep. Sorry, I put it in there because I wasn't quite sure where to put it. So, but that's fine.
Yeah. But even if it's just a project that
it's all a work in progress.
Doesn't move any further from the symposium, do you know what I mean? It's still kind of got a project status.
Yeah.
Yeah, for all of us.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Completely right.
It came from the provocation.
Yeah.
You're sounding a bit paranormal there, Ash. You keep sort of...
Oh, my internet is the worst.
You keep freezing there, me. Going very staccato for me, but that's okay.
No, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying.
You look like what I must look like to everybody when I'm in the outback.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay. So so then I thought it was sort of time for sharing where we're at with our projects, if we're anywhere, because I realise that it's been teaching time and busy time, and this is probably, hopefully, less busy time. So I'm just wondering if, Susie, if you want to say anything or do you want me to, or how do you want to go about it, or Ash? Oh,
I'm happy just to, I mean, I haven't unfortunately progressed very far at all.
Mm.
And, it's just really... It's going to be something just in the break time that I can really start to develop. I mean, I've sort of every, it's a bit like when I did my PhD, you just go back to it and you go, oh, it's all great. And then sort of you're like 3 months later, you come, you sort of have to pick it all up again. But I suppose, like for me, the things that keep reiterating that, repeating that I'm keenly interested in, I haven't, it's just all those mark makings at Willow Court and also at Wayne Haas, which are really around, sort of making a relation sort of past and present. But it's just in my abstract, which is beginning a story of belonging in the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm continue to be super interested in that and how I guess what that means really is thinking about design and this notion of parametrics and how one can just work with an emergent subject as distinct from a given subject and even an idea of human and coming from a humanism kind of position. And so I guess this idea of home and history links into all of that as a relation of the past. And I have been kind of listening to, like Steve, you mentioned Bergson, and I've just been listening on, I sometimes do these Melbourne School of Continental Philosophy lectures and seminars, and I really haven't had time to participate at the certain times that they're being run, but I've been doing a one on Bergson on tendency and time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really super interesting around issues to do with, it's covering its book, Time and Free Will, and also Matter and Memory, and right through the other books. And it's very interesting in relationship to issues around consciousness, memory and and I suppose at the heart of all of this, which was really sort of a key thing in the abstract, was around autistic kind of autistic, well, it was looking at Delingue, but autistic perception. And so I suppose that in relationship to the idea of parameters and working as a designer, sort of really trying to sort of open up and think about things other than, kind of sort of ending up in an area of dealing with language and normalizing and standards and signs, which are kind of dominant signs. And I think probably in the end, it's really, I'm interested in just thinking about how one can practice in this space. You know, like, and so that's what I'm kind of interested in. And also, that's very much, you know, there's a wonderful maps that are there with Dillinger's, you know, network of, what's it called? Anyways, sort of, you know, this mapping that people did of how, you know, the autistic people that he was living with that they produced. And it was not a representational mapping or a sort of study and a kind of overview to understand, you know, like, and had that relationship to the autistic kids so much as sort of how to try to enter into their world, you know, like, so, you know, this idea of ethologies there as well, like the sort of behaviors and relations of affect. And so I think, you know, it's sort of, and that's what's there for me in terms of thinking about these spaces that we were looking at and so on. So it's a little bit unclear, but at the same time it's sort of particular.
I mean, it is. It's I use Bergson to look at the kind of sympathy to the incomputable, things that cannot, I mean, within computation, there is, it's set up, you know, by a kind of algorithmic mathematics that actually generates things that cannot be computed.
Yeah.
And it's a long kind of story to that. But how do we attend to it? Because there is a tendency, there is a kind of propensity of a kind of gathering together and what I call, you know, the time, the time before something becomes a story, the time before something becomes, you know, information and data. And what is, you know, and as you say, how do you practice in this kind of strange, on one hand, there's clarity, and on the other hand, there is this kind of what Deleuze calls a dizziness. And it's, and I think autism certainly inhabits that zone. You know, how to become autistic. Which is behavior, ethology, and etiology, language, you know, that coupling, which is a really exciting kind of area to be able to kind of think in.
I guess also it's probably one of the key aspects of it is this interior-exterior dynamic that's there. And, you know, like I'm just sort of being very interested in a lot of the reading I've been doing with Dillinger, you know, and like sort of, this kind of idea of sort of, you know, like how there's this dominance of the idea of what language does. And I think I picked it up in one of the lectures with Bergson too, is how language kind of sort of produces kind of the subject and interiority, you know, and like sort of, and it's a normalizing kind of standardizing process, right? And so, you know, it's very interesting with many autistics who don't have language. And so, you know, all of a sudden they're kind of other sort of, you know, like, and, but at this, you know, it's sort of, but this thing of without language, it's just, it's very interesting. And, you know, like other many people are doing it, exploring it. So it's nothing particularly new, but so people like Manning and so on, but I guess I am just, it's sort of just, I'm just interested to think through this kind of idea of interior exterior dynamics that's there. And with some of the work research that I've been doing with in the area of autistic children and so on. And it's just, it's just so interesting to think about that, you know, the sort of exteriority of sort of, and how they're situated in relationship to that.
Yeah.
And just the sheer, like there's one project I was working on with applied behavior therapy, right? As a way of getting young preschool kids sort of into normal schools. And so it's just intensely one-on-one habitual mimicking sort of learning, you know, like so you know, extraordinary. Then when you think in saying that in relationship to Bergson and this idea of habituated interiority, I mean, it's just was just purely that production, and it makes them functional within normal schools and everything else, but
it doesn't make them themselves. I mean, themselves, there's much more to their,
or even what themselves world is. It just doesn't sort of, you know, this other potentiality of an emergent subject, you know, is sort of so anyway, it's kind of in that area, and I just found it really interesting. I suppose in Hobart, that's what I was connecting with, like when Ash and I went to the paranormal kind of investigation, and then also at Willow Court, and you know, just this kind of extraordinary history that's there in terms of going, well, you know, like you can, it's almost like a Foucault kind of case study in a way, you know, like what this course makes visible, you know, like, and what one can say and do, and you know, like sort of how that has traversed, you know, a sort of collection of people, and you know, like sort of what they become through that discourse, you know, like as idiots, or you know, insane, or hysteria, all these things, you know, and so kind of this, but in the end, it's the idea of a story of belonging in the unknown is probably the ambition of it, or the aspiration of it, the kind of.
Yeah. Mm. And yeah, definitely bring in the paranormal.
Yeah. Oh no, look, I mean, I really you should have been there, Steve and Ginny.
But I've been.
I had paranormal encounters. We're convinced.
I know. But I have my own paranormal encounter every time I go to Little Paddock. So but I do know. I do realize. And you know, Vera has a conversation. I mean, not really, but you know, there's a thing going on. But anyway. No, I know, but I mean it's really important part of the going there. So absolutely. I mean, the reason why, and Ash, I'll ask you what more you've done in a minute, and then I'll do me. But the reason I'm doing this is that at the end of June, this is kind of all over in terms of the money, and then the report will have to be done to the ARC. So we'll need to fashion something that talks about what this project is all about. So, and that's not now, but it'll happen over the next kind of months. So one of the things I was thinking is that I think there's a little bit of money left. I don't know what it is, because Stanislav's got the money, but I just thought, if there's anything that you guys suddenly think that we need, we've got a month to do something with it. That's all.
I mean, no. Well, from my point of view, I mean, the only thing that I'm wary of is because UNSW's going through some kind of, you know, draconian. You know,
what about that?
It is, but it's now everything has to be metricized. And so all our KPIs and workloads are being kind of micromanaged. It's just ridiculous. You know, whatever I do here, of course, this is, you know, part of my sort of wider research, but it's just to kind of make sure that, you know, if I do kind of produce something in this project, that it is...
counted.
Count it, yeah.
Well, there's a book.
it's horrible to kind of
there's
say.
There's a book this, chapter.
Yeah.
Because we've got a...
Don't count anymore.
No, huh? They don't count anymore.
Book chapters? Chapters?
Not really.
God.
No.
We've got to get a Q1 journal article out of this.
Yeah.
All right. Collectively?
My book chapters and the book that I co-authored on Deleuze, that's mm-hmm. all, they're all counted as non-traditional research outputs.
It's rubbish. Yeah. Who's running
it? It's getting from bad to worse, yeah. Various in journal articles will be counted as well. It's all money.
Yeah.
Ugh. Right.
I know, so, you know, but in terms
well,
of...
Well, the other thing, dare I mention the virtual exhibition?
virtual exhibitions do count. That? So yeah. Non-traditional outputs are the way to do it, but yeah, anyway.
So. But I think the thing, sorry to interrupt, I mean, we can put, you know, as part of an ARC grant on this, can't we?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's a bit of a, that's a kind of, it'd be good to work out what, how we can word that, Ginny.
Absolutely. Like with, yeah. All right. I'll ask.
Correctly. I'll like, with
because
we obviously can't claim that we were chief investigators.
No.
Not, but it's like, what would be the terminology that we could use?
All right.
Because that would be impressive on a CV at least, if yeah. nothing else. Maybe.
That's right.
No, all right, for sure. I'll check that out because, I mean, you know, I'd imagine that would be all the other people in the symposium would be wanting to know that too, and all the other people who are writing the book yeah. chapter for the book who are out of the symposium would be wondering about that as well.
Yeah. Mm. I just also find it, like, the website being gormenghast, like...
Yeah, I've asked about that. I don't know why.
Can they do that?
I was just wondering.
It's, I know. I have raised this. I have said, why are you calling it Gormenghast? I will continue to raise it.
But even, maybe copyrights end yeah. or something, but yeah. even so, it just maybe. Raises something. Yeah, it's really weird.
I know, it's really weird.
Well, I have to say that in the group meetings, when I raise the ugly, the ugly nature of copyright, including using people's imagery and all of this,
yes.
it all becomes, it's got to be done properly. Sorry.
Hopefully ethics approval too, because we are using images of,
But it was ethics that was an issue too, wasn't it? That's what shut down the, because none of us got asked to if we wanted to be live on YouTube, and I didn't mind, but all of it, you know, like you were saying that there were others who were. You know, sort of in other groups that sort of asked for it all to be taken down because there hadn't been
one woman asked for it to be taken down. Yeah. No, look, I know. I'm the little person in the background that goes, ethics, can you copyright?
Yeah.
I will, maybe if I ask, at our next meeting, I will raise it again that's asking my contributors want to know.
But it also just sounds like it's part of that book. And do you know what I mean? Like it just sounds like it's connected.
Yeah.
So we'll just get all these kind of, you know, like.
It's a very Jeff Malpass thing to do, I must say.
No, like the boys dealing with this are the Marks squared.
The Marks squared, the two Marks.
Marks squared or, oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah.
But no, sorry, I will ask for more clarification because it's been something I've been going on about for some time.
Ginny, sorry, and Susie and Ash, I have to go because I've got something on at 5 that I need to do something for. Sorry, I haven't heard, you know, both your projects.
Well, we'll record it.
If you record it, it'll be great. Then,
mm-hmm.
If you send me the recording, it'll be cool.
Yeah, we'll hook you into everything. Thank you, Steve.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve. Right. Yeah. Great to see you.
No problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bye. And I'll just have to go and now deal with the horrible bureaucracy. Anyway.
Oh, all right. Good luck.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
That's so nice to see him. He's extremely sad. His dad just died.
Yeah.
He's dealing with it very well. But he's good.
He put on a brave face though.
Yeah. So, okay. No, point well made, everybody, about copyright and everything. It's a deal with me. And I think there's a couple of ways to ensure that they do it, but I'll see as far as I can go. Okay. You know what it's like when you're working with
this. I guess it's a liability for all of us too.
Well, like sure.
We all participate in this but I don't, you know, maybe Gorman Gast is sort of out of copyright, but even it just seems weird. Like why?
I know.
All these people thinking, oh, it's something to do with that.
I know.
And it is kind of, but actually not at all.
I know.
I mean, it was a start point. It was like a provocation, but it's gone so far afield.
I know. I'll go back and talk about it. It's a Mark Barry thing.
Yeah, they're weird.
I mean, but even just the visual language of the website's very dark, and it seems like it is trying to put, and it's very text heavy. Seems like it's trying
to. We know the text heavy is too heavy. We know that. It's just look seriously. It's the framework of it, and we realize it is. And the part of the darkness, I think it kept going on from the symposium thing. And you know, they're the Swinburne designers, and I just find it all terribly sort of a few years ago. But anyway,
could improve a bit.
I know. So we have the ability to do a series of things in our own spaces. Okay. So we can edit it the way we want to. But it's just that, you know, the overall thing is that. So, okay. So, Ash, did you have a sense of, did you want to update us?
Just going to share my screen real quick. It's this one. Yeah. Okay. Click that. So what I did was we had kind of talked about maybe having like the idea of a brief or like a return brief in what I was proposing, kind of just going through it again and structuring it a bit more. So this is my return brief. I have the background and the kind of inspiration that I was going off of.
I can't see
especially
that.
Like this.
Yeah. Okay, it's not. I can only see the thing that I can't read very well.
Likewise.
Well, I'm stumped. I have share on. Oh, it might be because you're recording.
Can't you?
Is it recording? Well, because it's recording your screen. Maybe you're sharing.
Yes. I can only see that the other thing, which is actually a bit small to see, Ash, I have to say. On my little laptop.
I don't know what are you seeing? Sorry. The other
I'm
thing.
Seeing the presentation that you gave us before with on your, not the Google Drive, whatever you're using as the file.
Oh, the file sharing. So if I actually just like close that, maybe try that again. What do you see now?
Yep. No, that's better.
Mm-hmm. Word doc? Okay.
Yep.
Sorry. So I'll just let's try it again. Right. So this is the idea of a return brief. So this is the start, the idea of the different studios mapping of space and kind of different ways of looking at mapping and generating these different types of graphics in order to have what I'm calling a paranormal data set or something that is next to normal. And then to have the context, looking at the macro, midi, and micro of Hobart in general, Willow Court, and specifically Jay Ward.
Request, can you make it a tiny bit bigger? Just
yes, of course.
Up a little bit. It's just my little tiny laptop screen. That's better. Thank you. Yep.
Yeah. No, easy. Just tell me. And if I start going robotic also, try and leave me. And this is also kind of the macro, MIDI, and micro themes that I was trying to pull out of. So the idea of rehoming or a lack of homing opportunities, the Tasmanian Gothic, and the idea of the conflict between a troubled past and a growing future. Mm-hmm. And the former Royal Derwent Hospital itself, again, a tension between the ideas of conservation and development, issues of maintenance and stewardship, and then again, a troubled past and an unknown future, and then specifically for this one building, the temporal occupation. So is there who's in the room? Who's occupying the room, the interior spaces while we were there? You know, was it the matron? Was it, who was the little George? Was it the little George? And a quote, troubled past, an unknown future. So then the methodology would be three parts, going again off of my proposal that I did the presentation on. First, to map, using the inspiration for different ways of mapping and generating unique graphics. Listening, which I was, I have the methodology is also connected to deliverables. So doing a series of mappings, the deliverable is a series of drawings. Listening and researching different epistemologies, once with the flexibility and capacity to acknowledge supernatural understandings of space, which were indigenous systems as well as paranormal investigator. And using that as a novel way to understand the tension between troubled sites and the realities of modern engagement with the place, both the physical place as well as the intangible histories, specifically looking at tourism, often called dark tourism, which can be a reductive and conditioning or positioning term of how we are engaging with these spaces, saying that they're already positioning them as dark or bad or troubled. And how that can all continue a tension of needing to reoccupy these spaces by labeling them as dark. And what can we learn from different epistemologies? And so that would be maybe a small writing on the provocation. And then the third would be, down here, drawing. So to kind of have that next cyclical step where I look at broken technologies in order to create drawings, would then in turn create what I'm calling faulty parametrics, a series of new tools in order to draw para spaces, those ones hidden between our understanding of place and parametricism. And so that would be what would be in the exhibition. Virtual exhibition would be videos of these things doing their thing, to produce prototype drawing tools to demonstrate all the stuff that I've been researching. And then kind of the outcomes of like, you know, why does it matter? Would be an attempt at an architectural understanding of atmospheric spaces that inspire dark tourism could potentially lead to a better understanding of placemaking in general. And then looking at these different but parallel epistemologies could bring a freshness to the conversation about reoccupying or engaging with troubled spaces. I'm using troubled as in playing off of the Troubled Asylum book that we were looking at. And that's just one idea. With real world implications towards tourism, development, maintenance, and the economics of using space. And so I also have looked up different ideas of specifically the tools or drawing machines. Here, these are to do with optics. So you kind of, in his different projects, it's looking at visualizing, translating that using algorithmic that he's developed and then producing drawings. This one is climactic, so it's kind of wind or air driven. It creates a different drawing. And then this one is does the same with audio. And so all of these have their own unique way of translating this data into a visual outcome, which are all very different. So I was intending on kind of mixing and matching the three. And this was also to show that these are drawings that I've done, that I can produce these types of different algorithmically generated images, and they should look familiar, Jenny.
Mm-hmm, they do.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so that was my return brief.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know.
I think you've got a lot going on there, which is fine, but I kind of wonder if you've got something to sort of hang it on what is dark tourism? Is dark tourism useful in all of this? So I think there's quite a lot happening there. So that was probably my thought about editing it a little bit, or trying to clarify where all these things are, because I think you're talking about on one hand something that's about tourism, on the other hand something that's about a kind of an aspect of past lives, the kind of what emerges out of those past lives in these spaces. There's a lot going on, so might be the time of the day, but I'm trying to find my way through a kind of a thread that connects them in some ways, and then with the imagery, which we've been working on for something else, how does that imagery start to kind of fold into some of those ideas that you're talking about? And I know it's just at this stage, so it's only just, perhaps I need to have a better look at it and wrap my head around it, but I'm trying to find a kind of a thread to hook it onto. But that might just be me.
No, there is a lot. I mean, I even tried to say, like, there's a macro MIDI, like, there's a lot of different levels, and I always think it's easier to edit than try and put more things in. So for sure. Refine it.
Out of the macro, the MIDI, and the micro, which one of those or connections of those do you find the most compelling?
I believe that would be the micro. Actually, just if my entire project was situated in a single room and there was a production of different ways of looking at that space through this idea of the paranormal, I think that would be enough for me. I do maybe struggle a little bit with, like, there should be a practical point to it. And that's where I was trying to bring in these ideas of tourism, that there are implications for conservation and engagement with space. Oh, you frozen.
I think it's sort of pretty, you know, like,
frozen.
Just going with the room, you know, like, I think it's quite interesting, the micro MIDI to the micro, because, you know, it sort of kind of has this sense of it being a relational, ecological kind of issue, you know, because you've got troubled all the way through, and how that's kind of, I guess, really manifests then within kind of the specifics of, say, the interior spaces of the Women's College. And it just made me, I know you're sort of more practical kind of focus, but it just, the trouble, you know, and I haven't read the full book, but Donna Haraway's book, Staying with the Trouble, it's kind of interesting just to kind of, you know, and I have this sort of sense of maybe it's, you know, but just in terms of these drawings, it's, I mean, when you were saying there's some money, I was about to kind of just joke, and, you know, it's really a joke, but, you know, this idea of a sort of drawing machine or something that's kind of, you know, responsive to all these things. And it's like, I guess it's all parametrics kind of, you know, what were they called, Ash, like tools or, you know, like devices that they had. And so I think, there's just something there.
I think devices. I think they called them devices.
Yeah, but there's something there that really, and maybe it comes back to my interest with this idea of an emergent subject. It's like the, you know, the
Yeah.
The kind of question of parametrics and is the thing here?
Mm.
You know, and like the paranormal and, you know, like the paranormal and what we experienced was certainly more normal than kind of extraordinary or sort of really strange or totally unknown. It was, you know, like as you pointed out, you know, like they sort of had to give everyone names and, you know, like sort of these kind of electromagnetic forces became sort of totally anthropomorphized and things. And so, yeah, I don't know this. I think there's something interesting there in terms of thinking through this kind of parametrics kind of question and place.
Yeah. I mean, in the studio, Ash, the second little exercise I had to do in the studio was to work with devices. And it was Cameron Robbins' devices.
Yeah, I was thinking of Cameron.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt again, Ginny, but, you know, he was, I noticed that his drawing machine at Mona, which was, I think it was there, but it was closed when we were there. Because, it's just another nice connection a little bit.
And I thought, and actually, so that if you look back into the studio thing, when we took the students to Mona, we took them specifically to have a look at Cameron's drawing machine. And we asked them specifically to actually
understand. That was Cameron Rowland?
Robbins, Robbins. The reference is in the studio outline, but Robbins. I'll send it to you. Robin.
Sorry, the connection is.
Sorry. I'll send it to you. There's a very nice catalogue of his work.
Yeah, Robbins. Okay.
Victoria. And I'm with Susie on this idea of the reason why I sort of talked about the micro was simply to give you something to hook on. But I do absolutely think that it's within the larger context of Willow Court in Tasmania. But there's a kind of, do you deal with those equally? Or do you deal with those? How do you start to deal with those as a kind of an outcome or a site to work in? That's all too. So.
Yeah. Well, my sense was the idea of playing around with different deliverables could address different scales. Like I can speak in writing about different, you know, entire ways of thinking about accessing a paranormal understanding of space, but the physical outcome of taking a single room and working all the way through that is a smaller scale and a different outcome was one of the ways I was trying to think about it. And also because you guys also have writings, so I thought maybe, why not try?
No, I think so. No, it's just for us to go. It's us
supposed to be a researcher, right?
Each other rather than let's tell you what to do. So that's it. The thing about Cameron's work is that he works with atmospheres.
Yes.
He works with atmospheric conditions broadly. Not only, but broadly, and particularly that one, atmospheric or fluid conditions in some ways. So that one that we're talking about in Mona is about the drawing the rising and falling of the tides. And then there are other ones that actually work with air and a whole range of things. So that might be an interesting way of looking at those devices. That's really good. Yeah. Good on you.
Yeah. I'm mostly interested in the faultiness of the devices, the incomplete, the broken nature of them, and kind of questioning, like that to me is the most interesting part, and questioning kind of almost this praising of the metric as absolute and everything is a one or a zero, and introducing and saying that maybe place can be found in parametricism by using.
I think
into precision.
Sorry, missed a bit of that.
The imprecise can be quite evocative, especially when discussing atmospheres.
Mm-hmm. So we missed a bit of that. You're a bit frozen. Are you there?
I think she's gone.
Oh, here she's back.
No, she's back.
We missed a bit of that. Oh, dear.
Yeah, she's frozen again. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, you're on. Your microphone's muted, Ash.
Frustrated. I can't hear you.
I don't know. Mute was on. I don't know why. It was trying to save data.
Oh, that's all right. It's probably the video more than anything. I can't believe that my little phone tethering is still working. I'm sure it's going to collapse sooner or later.
Usually this works better.
Which
hotel? I'm in Mum's flat.
Oh, right, yeah, good, yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, no, I'm here.
Not to do hotel.
At least I have a view outside. I mean, it's good. Don't complain. I must say, you know, when I woke up this morning, I thought, 14 days in this space? I can't even go to the front door. Anyway, well, as for mine, if you're interested, mm-hmm. I haven't gotten very much further at all, except that I've been going back through the things that I put together for the symposium. And I did actually talk last time about that kind of imagery where the tax shed imagery in terms of trying to sort of deal with representing these spaces. But the thing that I've gone back to that I really probably will start to work much more on is the bell hooks writing on sites of resistance, because I think that what's seeming to come back more and more is particularly the female factory for some reason, and the narrative that we had about the fact that the women were not allowed to speak, they were not allowed to, the actual ways that home became a site of resistance in bell hooks's work is where particularly women found a way through, not always a very necessary a good way through, but a way through the kinds of situations that they found themselves in, whether or not they were for whatever reason they were there. The bell hooks work is more about women's domestic environment. They're not incarcerated. But I just got quite interested in looking at these kind of different sites of where women were living and what would cause, what would generate this kind of site of resistance. A lot of the bell hooks work is about domestic violence. But I'm not suggesting I'm going down into that realm of interest, but I am interested in something that I've been looking at for a long time is what people take with them and what it is that enables almost a temporary sense of home because of the objects that you take with you and what they constitute. And the interesting thing about, I suppose, if I look at that tax shed as a kind of an example, is that the space is there and it has a whole lot of atmospherics about it, but what's in there are the objects of the tax shed that are left, and how they kind of resonate with the lives of people who kept coming back and reusing and using and using again this sort of humble building. So, again, I'm not exactly sure where I'm going with this, but I think this idea of resistance and what enables occupying these places and these homes. And what makes it almost bearable is something that I'm kind of interested in. And I'm hoping that when I see you next time, I've worked that up a little bit more. But the bell hooks writing has been staying with me for some time, for years probably. So I think I'd like to explore that a little bit more as well. So I'm not really exploring, I'm not really explaining it in very well, but I'm just telling you where I'm going with it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a very interesting, or she was a very interesting writer. And it's Black women, actually. So, and a lot of that comes into my past me, backwards and forwards, about women who are also, in a situation where they are not particularly privileged as well. And so all of this sort of starts to come out about what that actually meant in those spaces that we went to look at. So it's tying it back to that kind of to those sites of resistance or where you find them. I mean, and Susie, I think some of your marks are actually evidence of that kind of resistance.
Yeah.
In a subtle way, but in a really real way. So.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sounds good.
It'd sound better if I actually got it better organized.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Just because you mentioned, like, should we set up a series of meetings or in the future? Yeah. I guess it'd be good just to, start to think about moving towards, I don't know, like, kind of just a bit of a schedule for things to meet. Because otherwise, I'm just, just keep getting prioritized for me.
I know. I also thought that if we started to think, perhaps even if it doesn't get counted, if we start to think more, for want of a better term, curatorially about what we might be wanting to put the work towards an exhibition, that actually may give it a bit of a kind of structure around what we meet, how we meet, and what we're trying to achieve in each one of those.
Yeah.
So I will do that. Over the next day or so. Okay. And I'll send some kind of summaries of things and send it to Ed as well.
Yeah. He must have just forgotten, I think, obviously.
Well, I don't think I probably didn't remind him well enough. And also he's away. And also it's 8:25.
Vacation time.
Well, yeah, I think they've finished doing that. So I'll send him a message as well, so that's all right. There was a bit of to-ing and fro-ing about it. And then, because I thought we were all meeting in face-to-face, it seemed like we were just all, we would all arrive and get out the cups of tea and afternoon tea and just walk through. I think I don't know how to have meetings anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not what I prepared for.
All right. So, so why don't I do that? Do a summary, send it to everybody and suggest, a way forward. And also within the time that you've got, Susie, because I just know you're really busy. And is it too late for me to send that thing?
Oh, no. Like, no, that's just do it, for World Interiors Day.
Yeah,
no, do it.
Was it yesterday?
No, sorry. It's tomorrow that I have to post them all.
Okay. No, I'll do it today. I'll do it after the meeting.
I've got I've just got, like an RA putting it all together because I can't sort of assemble them. So, it'd be good if you could send it through.
Yeah, I'll do it after we.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Sorry, I was super distracted yesterday. I'm really sorry.
No, like, yeah.
Run for the hills.
Yeah,
and I know we didn't want to talk about it, but I felt so sad leaving. I really wasn't a good thing. Anyway, so I'll do that.
Yeah.
And we'll all go and have a cup of tea now, shall we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And okay. So Sky is up at Oratunga, or?
Who is? Sorry? Sky. No, Sky's having a beach holiday at Janet's over in Outer Harbour. I brought her down, so she'll be as happy as me. So, she's at the keep. She's at her carers, so that's good.
Yep. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's good. At least I wasn't driving. You can imagine me driving towards the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing that was really well organised last night, I got off the plane and within 24 hours you have to have your first COVID, test.
Yeah.
And I thought, they had these views in South Australia of 4-hour queues for people to go and get tested. And I walked out of the airport and there's the COVID testing thing there. Set it up. It's so well organised. So they've set it up. So, and I got my negative back this morning, so that was good.
Oh, good. Yeah, good.
That is good. That is good.
So, anyway.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great to see you.
All right. And
good to see you.
Good luck with everything. And I'll send that through.
Please come on board.
Yeah, I think it's be good. Yeah.
He talks a lot.
Hey?
He spoke a lot.
He does, doesn't he?
Maybe that was because of his... current situation, but yeah.
Yeah, he did. But I think he's got a lot on, but I think he's keen to be connected and distracted.
Sounds like the right man to tap for an archive.
Yeah, I was so pleased. I was wondering what we were going to do. I mean, I kept saying, look, let's rethink the arc. Well, not rethink, but let's think of it differently, thinking how are we going to get... put this in there, and there's Steve comes along. Anyway.
Sandy?
All right, well, have fun, everybody.
Yeah, likewise.
World Interiors Day, is there anything else happening? Is there something is there a whole set of events?
Oh, I think just people all around the world are doing different things. So, yeah, people can just kind of come up with an idea and do it. And so this is what we're doing.
That's good. All right.
We haven't got lots of responses, but I think we've probably got about 20, 25 now. So, yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, yeah. I'll send some landscape in.
Yep. All right.
All right. Okay.
See you.
All righty.
See you later. Bye-bye. Bye.
Yeah.